Good morning, everybody. It's really good to be here. I want to read from the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, because we're going to spend quite a lot of time over the next couple of probably months just looking at some lessons that God is going to share with us, particularly in the area of praying and understanding the effect that our prayers have in the spiritual realm. So let me read from verse 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will stop there for the moment. Father, we ask that you will be the one to just open up your word to us by your Holy Spirit and reveal to us the reality of Jesus Christ, what it is to be in you, what it is to be in your Son. And we want to thank you as you teach us just another level, a depth, a dimension of relationship with you. And we want to thank you for this in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to spend quite a bit of time over the next couple of months really speaking about the impact, the effect that our prayers have in the spiritual realm, in understanding the reality of what intercession is all about, and really experiencing, because when we speak about prayer, very often we have a sort of a mindset of what prayer is. But the bottom line, prayer is relational. Prayer is the way we as the family of God communicate with one another, how our Father and our Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit communicate with us, how we communicate with them. And so it's very much like in a family, it's the reality of how we really share and hear and communicate with one another. And that's the reality of this incredible gift that our Father has given to us as his children, what we all call prayer, to be able to really have family dynamics in sharing, responding, hearing, laughing together, and just sharing dreams, etc. And we want to grow into this a little bit more than we have previously. Some time back, last year, over the Easter weekend, when God spoke to us about praying for the family of God in South Africa, and he gave us the scripture, the John 17, as like a guideline for us to use to really intercede based on the prayer that our Lord Jesus has already prayed for you and I, for all the believers. And that was him praying before he left the earth, before his ascension. Now he's going to help us to pray from the place of him already being ascended. So it's the place of him being seated at the right hand of our Father. It's the place of his victory. It's the place of him being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and helping us to be able to really pray for the family of God from the position of being in him. And that is why it's a time for us to really grow and to experience another intimate depth of communicating with God and him with us, and being involved in the intercessory prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, our Lord continues to intercede for us. Likewise, we see the Holy Spirit continuously intercede for us as well, according to the perfect will of God. And so we want to grow in this dimension, in this reality of what prayer is all about, and to get an understanding of the impact. Many, many times we don't really press through in prayer. We get discouraged in prayer because we don't really realize the impact that it's actually having in the spiritual realm. And as we go, and even today, later on, I'll play a 7-minute video of someone that's been in the occult, has been in Satanism, and their experience in the demonic realm of believers praying. And throughout the series, we will be playing different testimonies so that we can all be inspired, we can all be encouraged to know that our prayers have an impact in the spiritual realm. And this is why Jesus speaks about and he teaches and he models the reality of his relationship with the Father. Prayer, it's relational. The communication with the Father and Jesus with the Father and him with his disciples and with the believers. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 17, when Jesus came and he cleansed the temple, remember Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. So we notice over here that Jesus is saying, my Father's house will be called a house of communication, a house where the Father will communicate with us and we with him for the nations. It will be a house of family dynamics, of sharing and speaking with one another, house of prayer. So you can see that we are called as the family of God into the incredible house of God, into the family of God, into the kingdom of God, where we'll be known as a people that communicate, that has a relationship with our Father and our Father with us, and that incredible communication that takes place. So Jesus again shares that. We see in the Lord's Prayer, he teaches us this is how you pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And so he models prayer. And all the time, Jesus emphasizes a prayer in that John 14 and 15 and 16 and 17. All the time we see how Jesus really models and he speaks about the incredible joy of having fellowship with the Father and the Father with us, and how the Spirit of God shares with us the things that the Father has on his heart. In Ephesians chapter 6, we all know in Ephesians 6, we speak about the armor of God. And Paul is speaking about the most incredible reality in the spiritual realm of how a warfare is not against flesh and blood, but it's really, as we know, as we have read there, it's against the devil's schemes. It's against the principalities, the authorities in the demonic realm. And they are against the believers. They're against us. And so Paul is praying in the context of the armor of God. And it's fascinating that he doesn't just stop about the sword of the Spirit, but he carries on and he says now, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. On all occasions. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And this is part of us learning now how to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. How do we pray on all occasions and not grow weary? How do we have a lifestyle of communicating with the Father where it's not an added on? The prayer is not an added on thing, a duty. This is what I have to do. But prayer is this incredible reality on all occasions to be involved in our communication with our Father, with our Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit. And they with us, so that we have a way we understand what's happening. And it's this incredible relationship. My Father's house will be a house of intimate communication with one another for all nations. We carry on and he says, now, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. And notice it's all in plural, all kinds, all. It's a big word, kinds. There's various ways, various kinds of prayers. That prayers is plural, requests is plural. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So we notice over here that he speaks about us being alert. He speaks about us all the time being involved in praying for all the saints. And that's why God gave us a year back or a couple of months back, Easter weekend, the mandate to pray first of all for all the saints in South Africa. Because we as saints, we have been given a God-given mandate. And here we have the reality where Paul says, pray also for me. that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So again, we see over here this amazing truth that what prayer does. Here we see Paul is saying, guys, pray for me. God has given me a mandate. I must take this good news of our Father concerning Jesus Christ to all the Gentiles. And I need you to pray for me to enable me to be able to fulfill my mandate. And so we notice over here that Paul is dependent on the body of Christ interceding for him so that the doors can be opened so that he is able to do what God has called him to do. He's praying for that the family of God will intercede so that he'll have words that he can proclaim it with a boldness. And like he said over there, as I should, that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. He knows what he should be doing, but he realizes he needs the family of God because the warfare, the struggle, the resistance is a demonic resistance, and the prayer of the saints, the prayer of the family of God has an impact that then allows him, frees him from all this resistance and allows him then to be able to fulfill his God-given assignment. And all of us have got God-given assignments. All of us, Jesus has given us, he's commissioned the ecclesia, the church, the family of God, the Great Commission. We all have got assignments, purposes, while what God has given to each and every one of us, all those good works that God has predestined for us to do before we were even born again. All of these things, and we're going to be needing to be able to pray for one another because there's closed doors, there's resistance from the enemy to try and stop you and I from fulfilling what God has called us to do. Prayer, this is why God wants us to pray, because he's showing us now that our prayers will be that incredible power that will be able to deal with the resistance to and enable you and I to be able to live out our God-given purpose in life in a far more effective way and to really fulfill all that God has called us to do. So there's a lot that God wants to teach us as we go through what the Word of God. We notice over here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, again, praying without ceasing, giving thanks to God. So all the time, there's a reality of praying. And as we bring our requests to God, it's an amazing truth that he then guards our hearts and our minds. Because sometimes the battle, the resistance is dealing with the mind. It's dealing with the heart. And so in the prayer realm, to overcome, to be able to experience the helmet of salvation, to be able to experience the mind of Christ, prayer plays a major role as we pray for one another. So guys, this is going to be the most, I think, amazing time for you and I to be able to grow in the Spirit and to be able to walk with our Lord Jesus Christ in these things. And so we're going to learn how to devote ourselves to prayer so that it's not an added on kind of responsibility, a duty, but it's a lifestyle. It's a way that we just love to communicate with our Father, with our Lord Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, and they with you and I. We'll start to know what God has called us to do. We need the prayer of one another to be able to do what God has called us to do. We know what we should be doing. We need the prayer to break so many strongholds, so many resistance, to move us to a higher level in the spiritual realm, to be seated with Christ, to govern the spiritual realm in the name of Jesus. So guys, to pray for the family is going to be a big deal, because you guys, I've got a real heartbeat for family, to intercede for the families and things like that. So it's very important for us to learn these things. We see, for instance, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 16, again, about the reality of, in all things, bring your prayers, your requests to God, and the peace of God will transcend and guard our minds and our hearts. The problem is, that we're caught up in anxiety because we're not practicing, we're not living the truths of God. We're bypassing the Word of God. As Greg said last week, very important message that he shared. What has God already said? And he has already spoken to us about, in all situations, to bring our requests, our prayers, so that God's incredible supernatural peace. Peace comes when we receive. Peace comes when we begin to walk. Truth sets free. That freedom and peace, it's all the same reality. And we start to begin to experience. But he says again there to pray in all these situations. Another powerful in Colossians, another powerful portion of scripture over there in Colossians chapter 4, just there in verse 2. Let me just read there. Devote yourself to prayer. Hey? Devote. How do we devote ourselves to prayer so it's not an added-on burden, but how to live so it's a natural reality of a lifestyle of prayer? Being watchful and thankful. Again, watchful again. How do we be alert and being thankful? Crucial, crucial truths that are important. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. Amazing. Guys, there's doors that are closed. And to open this door, guess what? We need corporate praying. Paul's saying, guys, these doors, without you praying, they're not going to be open. We need you to pray so that these doors can be opened for us. I've been assigned, I've been commissioned, I've got a mandate to preach the gospel to all the Gentiles. For me to fulfill my God-given mandate, I need the body of Christ to pray for me. We all need, we've got God-given mandates, we need to be praying for one another. And this is what God is sharing. Imagine us praying for the body of Christ in South Africa, for the doors that the God-given mandate for every single believer, for them to be able to enter into those doors that God has now opened, that the enemy has closed, to be able to advance the kingdom of God. Our nation will not be the same because we're dealing with the spiritual realm that is operating in this nation. And we've got to rise up now and not be under the captivity of the demonic realm, not into that fear, not into all of that stuff, but to be able to be seated with Christ. That's why he's teaching us how to pray, being seated with him in the heavenly realms for this nation. So the body of Christ has a mandate. Just quickly before we go back into Thessalonians, here we see here in verse 12 again in Thessalonians, and he's speaking and he's just, he's the final greetings, and he carries on and he says here, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Jesus Christ, sends greeting. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God. Not just some little aspect of the will of God, in all the will of God. He has a man, part of Paul's apostolic team, interceding for the church in Colossae, so that they will all be able to really fulfill and grow and to live in the fullness of what God's will is for their lives. Hey, imagine for a moment the family of God in 1947, or wherever you may be, God has commissioned you to be praying. Imagine if the family of God, all of us, is living in the fullness of God's will. Beautiful. Hey? That's not impossible. That's why God is helping us to be able to pray, so that what we're reading will be a reality, because we'll begin to understand the power of prayer, praying with Jesus, with our Heavenly Father. And that's why I shared last year the importance for you and I to be able to come with Jesus and to come to our Father together with Jesus and say, I'm with your Son Jesus. Father, what's on your heart today? What are you wanting to do? And you will be amazed when we learn from Jesus how easy it is to be able to pray without ceasing. So here in 1 Thessalonians, to the church, and he uses the word church, and remember that the Greek here is ecclesia. And remember now, the believers here understand, because they are in a Roman, under the Roman rule. And so ecclesia is the same. Ecclesia is in the political arena, in the way that they operated in their towns, was the men and the citizens of that town being called out for a meeting to discuss their affairs and to govern the reality of their town. So they came together as citizens to be able to determine and to govern and make decisions concerning the town, like council meetings kind of thing. And so Paul says, but listen here, to the ecclesia of the Thessalonians. What an insight for you and I to pray. To the called out ones out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of God. To the called out ones of the Sasselburgers. All of a sudden, we begin to understand our real citizenship. Just as they were called out to govern their affairs and to be involved, to have a mandate to operate and to make decisions for their town, now Paul is saying, called out ones into the kingdom of God, you have a mandate, the kingdom of God, the will of God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And all of a sudden it's like for the family of God in a city, realize, wow, we understand this language. We have a mandate by our Lord Jesus Christ, the Great Commission. And so Paul starts to pray, and the team starts to pray, and he's encouraging them all to start to understand. And he says over here to the church, to the ecclesia of the Thessalonians, in God. Interesting, the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever asked yourself, what does it mean to be in God the Father and in Jesus Christ? That can take weeks to speak on this one. Because here we have an understanding that we have been called out of being in Adam, we've been called out in being in the dominion of darkness, we've been called out of being in sin, we've been called out of all of that stuff, and we've been called out of that. Christ, we see then Colossians praising God because he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves so much, Jesus Christ, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And we have an understanding of being in God, the union side. But what does that involve? What does that include? And as we begin to realize, but Lord, you've called us into you as our Father, what does that mean? What does it mean to be in your fatherhood? What does it mean to be in your grace? What does it mean to be in your peace? What does it mean to be in your Father's love? What does it mean to be in your discipline? What does it mean to be in your protection? What does it mean to be how you provide and you look after us? What does it mean to be in your safety? What does it mean to be in your security? To be in. It includes all of this. More and more and more we can carry on. And in your Son Jesus Christ. So yeah, we see, yeah, Father, we need to pray. You're showing us how to pray for the saints in South Africa to get the revelation of what it is really to be as in a relationship with you, in you and in your Son. What does it really mean? What does it include to be in you, Father, so that we will live as people that have a deep understanding and rooted and established of being in you, our Father. Imagine our thoughts. Imagine our speech. And all of a sudden we begin to realize, oh, we've been enriched in every way of our lives and all our speaking and all our knowledge because we're beginning to get the revelation of what it is to be in you, Father. Not just a relationship. But what does this relationship include? To be in that, to be established in that. Imagine us secure. Family of God in South Africa, secure. So when the political parties are having all their agendas and what they're saying, etc., we are secure because we are not in the political party. We're in the kingdom. We're in the Father. We're in the Son. We're in the Holy Spirit. We have a mandate, the Great Commission. We have a mandate to share the gospel. We have a mandate to see the reality of the real Jesus being made known by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit for people to get born again. I need to go buy my ticket. I need to fly to Australia. Because we don't know what it is to be in the Father and the Son. We're not secure being loved by Him and knowing His divine involvement in our lives. So you can see how much there is to pray just in one little verse. We can carry on. This is so deep. Just the word God, the word Father, the word Lord, the word Jesus, the word Christ. Each one you can break up and just pray and to go into the depth of the reality of what it is to be in our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'll stop over there. We will watch a bit of a video now, and it's about 7 minutes long. But this will start to open up a little bit more of what takes place because we are in the Father and in the Son, because we've been taken out of Satan's dominion. We're not under his control, because now we begin to realize we are seated with Christ and he is the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords, and be able to start to pray. So let's watch this.
Welcome to this episode of Revelations from Heaven. My guest today, Renee Schaefer, was involved at a very early age in Satanism and a cult. She actually channeled spirits, and she, with her satanic members, prayed against Christians. Something interesting happened as they were praying, because something happened where they could not affect believers in Jesus Christ. But what happened is that later on in her life, she joined the Marine Corps to get away from all of that. She underwent surgery, and then during surgery, she encountered Jesus Christ. Jesus gave her a choice. We'll learn about that. Today, she is a minister. She teaches young people and in a church. And we'll learn this amazing, incredible story. Renee, it's great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Randy. I'm excited to be here.
Well, Renee, at the age of 8, my goodness.
Yes.
You got involved in Satanism. How does one become involved that early into this dark underworld?
I didn't know it at the time. But God has blessed me with spiritual sight. And so I always saw demons all around me, shadows, whatever. So that got me curious, and I started to talk to them. And they started to teach me magic, things I shouldn't know. And I started practicing magic seriously at the age of 8. And then I wanted to do more research. I was very curious about all of everything they could teach me.
Mm-hmm.
And went on the internet, read Anton LaVey's stuff, Aleister Crowley's stuff, and found an online coven. And they got me in touch with a local coven of Satanists. And at that time I was 13. And the high priest initiated me into the cult with a blood sacrifice. So that's how that started.
A blood sacrifice. Now, how was your upbringing, your family and all of that? Was there an opening there or something?
Well, it was pretty tumultuous. My dad worked all the time, but I would say it was fairly normal, but there were neighbors that were not good influences, and there was abuse going on. So
yeah, there's usually, it seems to be an opening whereby the enemy kind of has his way. And so especially at a young age, at 8, mm-hmm. and then subsequently getting involved in 13. blood sacrifices and the like. My goodness. I know you're chuckling about it now, but at that time it was very serious. Because you were actually involved in this cult in attacking Christians, weren't you?
Yes. So I was a channeler. I talked to the demons and they relayed messages to the rest of the cult through me. And their goal was really just to cause chaos. But later on, I was 16 when, I'm just going to say it. I met Satan himself, which really obviously shocking. And his priority for us, it changed the trajectory of the cult and we started attacking just Christians, going after clergy specifically. We had names, addresses, workplaces, and that's what we did. We just harassed Christians.
So and that's going on now, isn't it? I mean, that's there are assignments on people who are actively engaged in worshiping and ministering, including now yourself. So we pray, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over you.
Thank you.
That the Lord has victory, because you realized, as this was going on, that there were certain Christians or certain people that would not be at the effect of these prayer or these chants or these,
right.
You know, these practices.
Yep. So, I would actually travel in the spirit, astral projection, to, influence, I don't know, lust or something on a Christian. And, in the spirit, I would see, like, a dome, like a blue dome, over, groups of Christians that were praying, or, just through all those experiences, I connected that we could not attack Christians as they were actively praying protection from God. Like, there was a no-go zone. Just absolutely no power. So, I love it now. Like, yes! Thank you, God. But back then, it made me very angry. It made the demons very angry. And so at that point, that made me curious, how is this possible? How can Christians have this power to just nullify the demonics completely? So,
it's the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? That will be done. And, lead me not unto temptation, but deliver me from evil. I mean, that Jesus gave that prayer. And you're testifying that in fact, when we do that, pray, the enemy, God's enemy, the minions of demons and what have you, cannot affect us.
Yeah, yeah. It's perfect protection. Nothing can get through. So, I take very great comfort in that now. And,
yes.
Satan is defeated.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any power. It's all an illusion. And, I wish more people grasped that.
Yes. Well, there was a point in which, you know,
what have you to take this and what step, what can we do to really get this established? Because I think all of us have gone through the prayer chain. We've gone through, let's start. And every night from so-and-so, we're going to be praying. And after a while, we get distracted and it just doesn't work. And then everybody feels guilty. Oh, I'm not going to go try again because we've tried before, etc. And so it's hard to break through. So yesterday morning, the speaking to the Lord and the Holy Spirit just said, today, all I want you to do is hang around with Jesus. Because Jesus says, learn from me. Prayer is not a burden. So I said, okay. And so throughout the day, as I'm going through my day, I'm conscious of just hanging around with Jesus. So I hear someone just releasing the F word bomb. And now I'm with Jesus, and Jesus starts to speak about the childhood. You see. So now praying without ceasing is a reality, because now with Jesus and together with him, we go to the Father, and Father, this person needs the touch, because it's something about the childhood. And now you're starting to pray with communicating, seeing the Father's will, the Father now answering the prayer of Jesus, because whatever we ask in the name of Jesus, the Father will do, so that he's glorified in that person's life now through Jesus Christ. And so that would be a good idea. Throughout the day, all I was doing is just wherever I went, just very aware, Lord, I'm hanging around with you. And then you can, the Holy Spirit help you to be able to experience what's taking place, Jesus' involvement there, and together with Jesus, you start to participate. Because what how he teaches is that he doesn't just speak, he does teach by saying, now participate with me. And that's how we grow. So that is when we start to participate in him as the great intercessor. And it is fine over there. It's not a burden. You're not adding on prayer. It's now becoming just a normal reality of being a child of God. As we walk consciously, Jesus, as Paul would say it differently, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's just a different language. But for me, he just said, hang around with Jesus and he will teach you how to pray. And so I will encourage us all to, as a starting point, to say, Lord Jesus, today I'm going to hang around with you. So when I go into the workplace, when I'm driving, whatever I'm doing, I'm hanging around with you. And you will be amazed at how the Holy Spirit will make you aware. So when you have people getting upset, when you have people doing whatever it may be, what they're sharing with you, you'll be amazed, because the Holy Spirit will make you so aware Jesus is. Yeah, and you'll get the insight that Jesus has concerning that person or that situation. And then together with him, we go to the Father. And we can now ask the Father to, in his mercy and his goodness and his grace, to intervene. Freedom from religious activity. New covenant truth. Yeah. So you, if anyone is battling in marriage, if you, any of your believers, of your believing friends are battling in marriage and there's conflict in the home, etc., all you say, hang around with Jesus for the day. And your spouse may be, whatever that may be, and then Jesus will show you, listen, I want you to be involved. Let's go to the Father, because this is an area. That's why that person is responding like that. You'll have a enriched mind, will have enriched speech. You won't be criticizing, you won't be blaming, you won't be defending. You will find that you'll have an enriched insight to the real root cause, and you're able to go to the Father with a love in your heart to intercede for your spouse or your children or your family members, your colleagues at work, wherever it may be. Lifestyle. So that's how we pray continually. That's one of the ways that we're going to learn how to be devoted in intercession and pray. Because we're just hanging around with our Lord Jesus, and he is continually interceding for us all. Okay. So Father, we want to thank you this morning again as you're sharing with us the tremendous reality of the family dynamic of communicating with one another. We want to thank you, Father, you're involving us to be able to see the people that you love, your heart for all to be saved and none to perish. And you are helping us, Father, to be able to participate with Jesus, to hang around with your Son, to be able to get insights, to be able to get his heart, to be able to get his reality of what he has done, the love that you have expressed through his Son, your Son's death, to be able to participate in this incredible love for all mankind and to intercede because of brokenness, of trauma, of bondages that we all have. And Father, this is going to open up for us to be able to pray for one another differently, where we will not see one another from a human perspective, but now we will see one another as a new creation in you, Jesus. We'll begin to understand what it is to be in you, Father, and in you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that, Father. Lord, as we have communion this morning, it's communion with you. It's fellowship. It's communicating. So we want to thank you that we can hang out with you, eating together as a family. And we just open up our lives and we say, Lord, share with us. Thank you. I know for myself, I say yes, Lord, to where you're taking us into the reality of prayer that will shift the nation and the nations. And I want to thank you for a mighty army in you, Jesus Christ, an army that's in you, Father, the ecclesia that's called out of being citizens of this world and are citizens of your kingdom. We have been called out, Father, with an incredible mandate from you, Jesus Christ. And I want to pray and ask by the Holy Spirit over the coming weeks that by the Holy Spirit you will awaken within each and every one of us in the most specific way, as he shared on Friday, Jesus, how you're going to share with each one very specifically the things that is on your heart, from the Father's heart. And we open up and we receive everything that you want to communicate with us, so that once again, Lord Jesus, we can truly be involved with that prayer that you taught us to pray, to see the Father's will being done, the kingdom of God being made known here on earth as it is in heaven. So Lord, as we eat and drink, thank you so much for bringing us into the family of God. And we honor you for that this morning. Amen. Amen. Folks, come again and help yourself as you just spend time and